It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
You know, Paul the Apostle knew it was a good life. And he knew it was a good life living for the Lord. And that's the reason it blesses my heart so much when I'm able to get into the Word of God and read what Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has written to us. I trust that you have your Bible open as we go through these lessons. Now, we're in Romans chapter 15, and we're going to pick up with verse 15 today. And I trust that you are receiving a blessing, not from me, but from God's Word as we study it together. Well, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." That's what a preacher is to do. And actually, each person who reads the Word of God and shares that with another person, they're actually preaching the Word of God. They're sharing the Word of God. And of course, there's a difference between a man of God who's called to be a pastor or a preacher, and all of us, whether we've been called to be a preacher or a pastor, we're all preachers. We're all to tell other people about Jesus Christ. We left off with Romans chapter 15 and verse 15. We remember in verse 14, Paul says, "And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren." And of course, he's speaking to the saved people there, not only the Jewish believers, but the Gentile believers. He says that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Well, Paul had confidence in these people at Rome. Now in verse 15, it says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind." Well, he's saying, I want to remind you of something because of the grace that is given to me of God. And that's the reason he's writing to them. Well, Paul's source of authority did not come from Paul. Paul's source of authority came from God himself. And the last part of that verse says, "because of the grace that is given to me of God." See, God gave Paul the authority to send this letter to the people at Rome, to understand that he had the authority to admonish, to give the plan of salvation, to let the people know that that they should give the plan of salvation to other people, that the people there should get along with each other, that they should help one another because they are in the body of Christ. They should grow together in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And he could do that, he says, because of God. Well, God gave him the authority to do these things. Let me remind you, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it's God-breathed. That means that Paul was just a penman. He was writing down what God wanted him to write down here. And, of course, he would tell people about the things in his life as well. And I believe that when he said that he loved people, Paul really loved people, and he wanted them to know Jesus as Savior. But his authority came from God himself. Well, in chapter 15 and verse 16, it says that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Well, now, once again, Paul's talking about the Gentiles here. He wants the Jewish believers to know that Jesus Christ is not only their Savior, but that Jesus Christ is also the Savior of the Gentiles. It says there that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. We see in that verse that Paul's mission was to minister. Now, Romans chapter 15, verses 17 through 19 says this, "I have therefore, whereof I make glory through Jesus Christ, in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." Well, Paul gives any credit of success to God in his travels in these verses. He says, I have therefore whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ. You see, it's not in the things that he has done, but it's through the things which pertain to God. He's serving God, and he's not going to speak of those things which Christ has not done through him. In other words, he's not going to brag about the things that he's done. Everything that he has done, he's going to speak the truth, and he's going to say that anything that has taken place in his life, it's by God. It's all of God. It's by the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul gives all credit of his success to God in his travels. Verses 20 and 21. Yea, so I have strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. Well, Paul's principle of ministry is this: to preach the gospel. Now, you can see that in verses 20 and 21. Well, that was what he was called to do. If you look in verse 21 and compare that with Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 15, where it says, so shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Paul is simply fulfilling Scripture here as we read about him. He's simply going about preaching the gospel. Might I say that you and I, as we give out the Word of God, we're fulfilling Scripture. We're giving out the Word of God. And as we do that, I believe that Paul the Apostle was possibly the greatest minister who ever lived outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we give out the Word of God, we're following what Paul the Apostle had done. He's left us he's an example to us. Well, Jesus, of course, is the reason that we spread the gospel. He is the gospel, and he's the greatest one. There is no one that can compare to our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Paul the Apostle was a great man of God. He preached the Word of God, and it's a great privilege for us to be in like company as Paul the Apostle, because God says that he's called us to proclaim the Word of God, just as he called the Apostle Paul. Not in the same sense, as we are not apostles, but we have the same responsibility of giving out the Word of God. So our ministry is also to preach the gospel, whether you're a man or a woman. Now, when I say preach the gospel, I'm talking about proclaiming the gospel, not standing in the pulpit and preaching. I believe that God has given that to men. It talks about that in the Word of God, and it's men who have been called to fill pulpits around the world. But it's up to all of us, men and women, to give out the gospel. And that's to proclaim, and that's to preach the gospel to every living creature. Romans chapter 15 and verse 22 says, for which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. Now, Paul wanted to come to the Roman church on several different occasions. But here in this verse, he says that there was opposition and that it prevented him from traveling to Rome. Of course, we know that by studying Scripture, by studying history, that Paul the Apostle went to Rome and he was offered on the altar of sacrifice there for the Lord. But it doesn't mean that he gave his life that anyone could be saved. It simply means he gave his life for the Lord. If you study this, you'll find that Paul was killed in Rome. Paul dedicated his life to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. What were Paul's future plans as he was traveling to Rome? We see this in verses 23 through 33. Verse 23 says, but now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you. See, Paul is ready to travel. He's ready to go. And Paul believed that his work was finished in the area where he had been ministering, according to verse 23. Well, verse 24 says, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. You see, here we see that Paul did have plans to visit Rome at that time. Verses 25 through 27 say this, "But now I go into Jerusalem to minister unto the saints." Now, Paul's going to Jerusalem at that point, and that's pretty straightforward there. And verse 26 says, "For it hath pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things." Well, Paul is saying that he had something to do before he came to Rome. He was to deliver offerings from the Gentiles to the poor saints at Jerusalem. You see, it's something how that we give out of our poverty, and we are to give to those in need, and we are to help our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we have the example here of Paul talking about the saints of Jerusalem giving out of their poverty and giving to people who really had less than them. And these people were poor, but they sent to help other poor saints at Jerusalem. Possibly those people in Jerusalem didn't have as much as those that he was bringing an offering from Macedonia, and that is Christian love. Verse 28, "When therefore I have performed this, and have sealed to them this fruit, I will come to you in Spain," into Spain. Now, Paul intends to make sure the saints at Jerusalem receive their love offering, and then go on to Rome. Paul had intended, after taking the offering collected from the various churches of Greece and Asia, you see, he intended to take this back to the needy Christians at Jerusalem to make his next missionary journey a journey to Rome and then to Spain after all that took place. He did not know he would reach Rome only as a prisoner. According to Acts chapter 28 and verse 16, as far as the record goes, he never even got to Spain. But nevertheless, we see that his inspired epistles have actually reached every nation and almost every tribe on the earth. And God has blessed us through Paul the Apostle because he was a person who was dedicated to the Lord. Well, verse 29 says, "And I am sure that when I come unto you," Paul says, "I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ." See, Paul expects to be blessed and encouraged by the saints at Rome because not of himself, but because of the gospel. In verses 30 and 32, it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in the prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints." And verse 32 says, "that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed." There's a mutual ministry mentioned here. The saints were to pray along with Paul the apostle. "Pray for me," Paul says, "and pray for the love offering of the saints." Well, we'll pick up here where we're leaving off in our next study. And I pray that you will continue to read your scriptures, God's scriptures to you, and read the book of Romans. It's to the Christian people, and it's also used to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you as you study His Word.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.